Blog Talk Radio.
Show starting.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey, good morning and welcome to Voices for Change 2.0. I am Joe and my wife Rebecca is sitting here next to me. Thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful January Saturday morning.
Cold.
Yeah. speaking of cold, please bear with me today. I am a little under the weather. Hopefully my voice will hold out for the entire 2 hours. Yes, that's right. I said it, 2 hours.
Yep, we've got a doubleheader for you today. Two amazing guests, and the shows are just gonna kind of blend into each other.
There's a fancy word called dovetail.
Yeah, nobody knows what that means.
Yeah, but it sounds nice.
Great.
Anyway, they're gonna dovetail one into the other. So
excuse me.
Really quick, something that Beck and I talked about this morning before the show started. So I wanted to kind of make awareness of it because of the fact that this is a mental health show. And we're in January, which is a rough month. This is a rough time of year, especially for those of us dealing with mental health issues. January, February until March starts to rear its somewhat less ugly head. It can be dark. It can be depressing. It's cold. People get sick. Nobody wants to go out and do anything. This is a really bad time of year for people to kind of fall down the rabbit hole and get depressed and really get in those deep, dark depths. And we just wanted to say that if you start to feel yourself slipping down that hole, or you are already slipping down that hole and you haven't reached out to anybody, a friend, a loved one, a coworker, somebody you trust, do so.
Yeah, don't be afraid to get help. It's, once you start realizing what you're going through, that's when it's time to be realistic about it and try to get yourself some help, because it's not worth it doing it on your own and, maybe possibly struggling even more because you've sort of isolated yourself from the rest of the world. And, that's even more painful. So don't be afraid to reach out to somebody to get help.
Exactly. And we have a great community on Twitter. Reach out to somebody on there if you need to. Or God forbid, pick up a phone and talk to somebody.
Which isn't easy. I know from personal experience, it's not easy.
Yeah. Just whatever you need to do to get you a little bit of healing, do that. Okay. Cause we love you. We care about you. We're honored that you listen to us every week. And, we want you to be around to listen to us every week. So, just if you're feeling, especially down, reach out. Okay. So that's just what I wanted to say.
Today.
That's our message today, a message of love. So we love you.
And as we said before, we've got a special doubleheader show for you this morning. So don't forget to stick around. And once we sign off with our first guest, we will go right into our second guest. So stick around and don't miss the second half.
Yes.
But on to our first guest. He is a trailblazer in the mental health community. He's developing programs and podcasts to assist others with their mental health. And we're very excited to have him on the show today. It's been a long time coming. We've tried this once before, and I don't remember what the problem was, but we ended up not being able to do it the first time around. So
I don't remember.
Yeah. We've gotten up around a lot of guests now.
yeah, we have. And, I'm getting older and my memory isn't what it used to be. So
yeah,
getting old is for the birds. But anyway,
well, like we said, we're very excited to have him today. So
yes,
please welcome to the show, Zach Valenti.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm psyched to finally get to be here.
We are psyched to have you, Zach. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure.
Do you have any questions for us before we dive into our pleasant grilling of you?
Oh, man, I have so many questions. I am really curious what it is like for you to, you know, to have a show that has, you know, met such a response. I just wrapped up a sci-fi audio drama that I do, sort of was doing among the mental health work.
Wolf 359.
And, yeah, and just like really curious to hear what your experience is on the nonfiction side of the tracks of podcasting.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, we've never gotten a question like that before. It's, you know, it's humbling, really. You know, I mean, we're just, you know, a couple of average folks sitting here in our jammies talking to people and, you know, trying to raise awareness. And,
I can't
and
believe you said jammies.
I said jammies. And, you know, just trying to, you know, trying to raise awareness, like I said, trying to help people, trying to shed a little light on, you know, what's out there that doesn't get discussed or is looked on negatively, you know. And, you know, we kind of do the show with blinders on. We don't really realize, you know, the scope or the depth that.
Yeah, we don't really, we learn how many people or, you know, what type of listenership we've had, you know, after the show, and obviously. And it's always, you know, when Scott tells us the numbers, it's always like, holy cow. Like, you know, I can't.
Yeah.
It's hard to fathom that
it really
is. We reach that many people.
You know, and it's a huge honor. You know, it really is that people find value in what we're doing and who we talk to, and, you know, that they want to come every week to listen to us. It's really just a humbling feeling and a true honor.
We're grateful for the platform.
We are. We're grateful. We're grateful to Scott, our producer, for putting us on the air to begin with. And, you know, it's a confirmation of love for us. And, you know, that's why we say every week that we love everybody that you know is out there listening to us, because it really does mean a lot.
I feel that. I appreciate it. Thanks for answering my question. I'm prepared
yeah,
for grilling. I might have a question at the end if we
okay.
have time, but hit me.
I hope we answered yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, the love is palpable.
Indeed it is, sir. Indeed it is.
So why don't you start off, Zach, by telling us, where does your mental health journey begin?
So my mental health journey, I guess if you look far enough back, you know, I typically say college, because that's when I really hit, as you were just talking about, and I really appreciated your reminder of this time of year is tough, because I was like, oh, that explains a lot. I would say my first real sort of crisis in college, but my mental health journey begins back in elementary school when I was first diagnosed with learning disabilities and attention deficit disorder, and I guess now ADHD and attentive type. I think that I have a lot of strong feelings about how we label these things, and think that it's an interesting choice to tell, you know, 12, 13, 9 years, I was 9 at the time when they first diagnosed me with learning disabilities, and then later sort of specified it to ADHD and attentive type. And I think it's an interesting choice to tell a 9-year-old that they're disabled in their learning. Like, that's a thing that's even possible. Maybe different styles. And that was, I think, why I'm so grateful to have the parents that I have. They, you know, got me all these resources that were able to reframe that diagnosis as something other than a death sentence, maybe even a superpower, depending on the context, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It does. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you think about it, and that really, you know, at 9 years old, that would be a, you know, devastating bit of news to get if, you know, you don't have somebody like your parents to filter it through and, you know, put a positive spin on it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for someone that doesn't have that type of
support.
Thank you, babe. Yeah, that's, you're right. It would be like, oh my God, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? I'm nine.
Right. It's a little bit like my doctor was telling me, I'm so stupid. It's like clinical. and I just like, in, you know, making my way through the world, I've discovered that that is so not the case. And that there are just many different kinds of intelligence. And just because I didn't naturally sit down, shut up and look ahead, and like, you know, function well in a very specific environment of an elementary classroom setting, certainly, isn't the end of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. How did you decide to become an advocate for mental health?
Great question. So in college, as I mentioned, I sort of had my first real darkness experience. And I was never clinically diagnosed with anxiety or depression, but those two words really sum up what my experience was. And, you know, I had a sort of double life going on where during the day I was a sort of mainstay of my dorm. I was one of the co-presidents of my sort of co-living situation, very extroverted, very sort of energetic. And then, you know, at least one night a week, my girlfriend at the time would see sort of the other side of that coin, where I was just in this sort of devastated, lost place of, and not quite able to articulate why I was even feeling as low as I was. And that went on for some time, and, you know, long enough that she, you know, recommended that I seek professional help, because we hit a point where it just seemed unreal to her. You know, there was no logical basis for how I was feeling, and, you know, how quickly tears would resolve to sort of another bout of ecstatic joy. And so, you know, finally, I got over myself and got over the fear of admitting that there might be something wrong with me, to go to the mental health professional on campus and schedule a free visit to check out the counseling services. And it was interesting. I sort of went with a mindset of like, all right, got to get a pill, got to fix this, because that's how they sort of treated my ADD, was with a pill, which, as much as there were side effects that I later sort of explored alternative sort of supplementary resources for, it is how I was able to perform as well as I did in the academic environment that I was in. So I was ready to, you know, sort of be filled up with something, and the therapist on campus was just really, really great to work with me and just not jump to labeling anything, not jump to making anything wrong, and just had me slow down and look at my behavior and look at how much I was staying indoors, how much I was staying alone, you know, how sort of how little exposure I was getting, other than ruminating in my circumstances at the time. And I just worked with him and started going for walks and started like eating something other than cold cuts and, you know, cold bread, alone in my room at college, and started going out to lunchroom even when I didn't feel like it. And it was just amazing
yourself
to see the world. Yeah. Just the world of difference that, that being in the world can make, and sort of looking at my internal state as a sum of my external behaviors. And I know it's easier said than done, but at the time it was life-changing, and coming out of that that sort of pit, I was really interested in sort of sharing with people about my experience, and it sounded like there were way more of my friends dealing with what I had been dealing with that I just had no idea about, and way fewer of them than I was happy about were using these resources. And it sort of culminated in, my interest in mental health at the time. This was in 2000 and I want to say 2011 going into 2012.
Okay.
I hooked up with a organization on campus called the Minds Foundation. A buddy of mine had started, and I had helped him sort of get some of his early, like, nonprofit pitch videos together before I was interested in mental health, just because I liked him. And and what they do is bring mental health resources and training and really awareness to the developing world. Sorry, I'm in Bushwick, so you might hear. I don't have soundproofing. You might hear fire truck that just went by. It won't be the last.
That's okay. We live next door to a hospital, so.
Nice. Right.
Yeah.
So nothing. So hooking up with
nothing.
them, I volunteered as a filmmaker with their first trip over to their partners in rural India, where they were basically going into villages and playing a video, and they had been working with a social worker there to start doing this work. And this was the first time students were actually going over there as a group to work with the partners. And it was there I got to interview people of all walks of life and really of low income, sort of rural lives, people who for most of their lives saw mental illnesses as spiritual disorders and had been dealing with faith healers to try to cure things like schizophrenia. And I actually got to interview a man and his father who had been dealing with, the son had schizophrenia and they were in their local village, and the father had spent something like over a year's worth of income on faith healers trying to, you know, fix his son, and it would work for like a couple weeks and then it would go back to, you know, just domestic violence and, you know, the things that you
right.
would expect with without a medical approach. And it was being over there that it occurred to me that there was another sort of avenue to bring back of care and sort of conversation to bring back to the United States, of the sort of self-care contemplative, you know, where we have all this, you know, medicine that's a miracle over there. They have this, you know, incredible, you know, sort of like contemplative tradition, and just like sort of opening up that second lane in the highway of globalization to just like have a conversation of balance around well-being and mental well-being. And that's the thing that sort of inspired me to, you know, I was talking to my friend Raghu, who started this nonprofit, about building a device that lets people lift the world with their minds, and, you know, doing like meditation programs at college where kids, and like yoga programs where kids might be more selfishly interested to show up, and then hit them with mental health is related to this, you guys. And like, you know, it's not like this scary thing. You can kind of connect what is currently scary to things that are currently sexy, and sort of, you know, by the osmosis of enthusiasm, change people's view of mental health. And he's like, that sounds great, but why don't you go start your own thing? My board is like trying to keep me focused on what I'm doing. I'm like, all right, fine.
So is it safe to say that that's where Project Uplift came from?
That's exactly where Project Uplift came from. And for anybody who hasn't seen the website or any of the videos, I like to talk about Project Uplift as an insane mental health awareness campaign, disappearing stigma around mental health using technology and play. And what that means is we've built a device that literally lets a user levitate a globe with their mind by relaxing. If you can imagine like 10-foot tall plastic straw with, but instead of a, you know, a normal straw, it's like 2 feet wide, 3 feet wide, with a beach ball inside of it that has the world printed on it. And you sit next to that tower wearing essentially a very technological tiara that can read your brainwaves. So you have this little band around your forehead that is monitoring how relaxed you are. And the more relaxed you get, the faster a fan at the bottom of the tower pointing up spins, which then levitates this globe. So by lifting yourself up inside, you literally have the experience of lifting up the world.
Wow.
That sounds like the Force. That sounds awesome.
It's a lot of
fun.
And it's amazing to see people's faces light up and see people see themselves and their minds in ways that they never would have imagined.
That is really, really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I want to try that sometime. Really do.
Let me just take one quick moment to say one thing that I did want to say, a little housekeeping issue. If you want to call in and ask Zach any questions, ask us any questions, you can call us at area code 347-989-0126, or you can use hashtag VFChange. Which I've got Twitter up right now, and I'm ready for you if you've got anything coming in. So just wanted to say that really quick.
Oh, yeah.
Went further.
That's right. And two other things really quick. Number one, if you hear meow in the background, that would be our cat, Haley. She has decided to chime in today, so and she almost did just now. And the other thing is we're going to take a quick break and play Warrior by Trevor Page.
We'll be right back.
We will be right back. Keep listening.
Open your eyes and tell me, is this what you believe? Into the depths of darkness, as dark as it can be. I will hold you tight and we will rise up with the sun. With my hand in yours, companion, we'll fight until we've won. Can't you see it? Trying to open up your eyes, and I won't concede. I will put on armor, and I will stand up tall. There's nothing that I wouldn't do. I'll always fight for you. So would you stand with me? I know it's worth everything. This is
Hey, welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. We are so glad to have you with us today.
Indeed we are. Thank you.
And we are speaking this morning with a very, very interesting individual by the name of Zach Valenti. Zach, you still with us?
I am.
Yay. Awesome.
So would you like to tell our listeners about Focused AF?
I would love to. While we were on the break, I was explaining that, with Project Uplift, the Insane Mental Health Awareness Campaign, I've done a fair amount of touring. I've gotten to bring it to the University of Pennsylvania. I got to bring it to Union Square, New York City. I even got to fly out to Singapore, build one over there with the National University of Singapore's Engineering Department and Neuroscience Department, and do a TED Talk. And it's just a lot of awesome things that I've gotten to do with this project at Hub Week in Boston. And it's definitely a challenge to lug a 10-foot device around the United States, let alone around the world. I do work in media in New York sort of for a living, and there's a world where I could seriously cut back my lifestyle and live out of like Winnebago and do this. I don't know if I'm quite there yet. And so, one of the things that I did was make Project Uplift open source. So if anybody goes to uplift.is, they can download the code and there's some instructions and they can actually build it themselves if they're, moderately good with a soldering iron. I know I'm no wizard, but that's one way that I've hoped to scale the project. And I actually have gotten to sell a couple of one tower to Amherst College last year. But to get back to your question, what is Focused AF? I have grown up as a filmmaker. I got into podcasting in the last 3 years. And so I've really been looking at how can I have a bigger impact and hold more space in the world for destigmatizing conversations and just leave people with more freedom and fun and ease around well-being. And content has obviously been sort of a strong suit of mine. And so, one of the things that I've been developing is a podcast that is exploring attention and what matters. And one of the things that matters a lot to me is self-care and sort of this inquiry around mental well-being and how it's connected to physical well-being and all these things that I think we can get into. Focused AF is a podcast. I actually had done a daily upload last spring into the summer that I then took a break on because it was burning me out. And I'm looking at how to redesign a show on a weekly upload, sort of with the same sort of themes and ideas. And that's all at focused.af. The website is, I think it's Afghanistan, but I just like the AF for as you know what.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you if it meant what we thought it meant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does. And that sort of – sorry, I interrupted.
No, you're okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that Focused AF sort of arose out of – I had been doing Wolf 359, a sci-fi audio drama, which is – I want to say completely unrelated to mental health, but the later you get in the series, the more that theme sort of emerges naturally out of the characters. It's a fiction show that's a little bit like Archer in Space, if you have ever watched that animated series.
I've watched
I like to say it's like Futurama meets the X-Files, but without the video. But in doing that show, I really love the interaction with the audience that was starting to emerge. And so I started using my YouTube channel for something called Self-Care Sundays, where I go live every Sunday for Self-Care Sunday, where I, sort of bring on a guest who is somebody that I admire creatively, that I basically just pick their brain about how the heck do they stay sane while they create all the things. And making Self-Care Sunday sort of inspired me, oh, maybe I should try doing a podcast. It seemed like people who love podcasts aren't as interested in video content as they are in more audio content. And that's how Focused AF was born.
Okay. Yeah, you know, that's the one thing, and I find this true of myself, just in my day-to-day with work, is, you know, you don't get much time to watch video, but I've got all day long to listen to stuff if the opportunity affords me, you know, so I can listen to, you know, podcasts or music or what have you. And I think that's true of a lot of people, is they can have something playing while they're, you know, it's multitasking, you know, basically, and you know, doing their work or doing what have you, and they still have this to listen to. And I think that's a very reasonable thought to have on starting your podcast. And I like that it's centered on self-care.
Yeah, that was actually what our next question was.
It was about Self-Care Sunday.
Self-Care Sunday and how that whole thing came about.
So how did Self-Care Sunday come about?
Self-Care Sunday came about because I was getting really, really passionate about YouTube. And okay. I woke up one day totally burnt out. Like, looking at how I spent the last week, I had pulled another all-nighter to get a weekly video out. I was trying to do videos every week. I had tried daily for about 8 days, and it just was too much. I was on vacation. It was great. Then I came back to work. At the time, I was working at a startup, and it was killing me. So I went to weekly, and it wasn't any easier for some reason. I think what happened was I was spending like 20, 30 hours a week on like a 3-minute video between the writing and the shooting and the editing. Yeah, I know, because I'm, you're right, like you put a perfectionist in like into a weekly upload, and it just like the whole thing consumed my attention. And it was like fine, but it's not like I'm getting paid for this, you know? So it was right. Like, really taking, sapping my energy from all the other things I could be doing. I had this revelation. We had been doing for Wolf 359 regular live streams, and I'd learned how to do live streams at my startup job, and it suddenly dawned on me, I could maybe just go live, and then there's no editing, and I just can't get controlling and perfectionistic, because it's whatever I can do while I'm live. And it was overnight. I went from spending 30 hours a week to 3 hours a week max. And the crazy thing was that my watch time on YouTube shot up like 300%. Because even though people weren't sticking around for like, you know, previously I was getting like 60, 70, 80% watch time, like percentage of the 2 to 3 minute videos I was putting up. Now all of a sudden I'm only getting 20%, but it's 20% on like 90-minute streams. And so like YouTube was like, oh, we love you, and started like, you know, throwing me more at their algorithm and discovery. More people started finding my channel that, you know, didn't listen to Wolf 359 or didn't know about Project Uplift. So it was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And then I would have these massive streams, like the bulk of which were interviews. And so it was like, huh, you know, maybe I could do something with these interviews later. The streaming itself has been a real blessing. And there's this incredibly passionate and engaged and loving community. Like I have to pinch myself sometimes when I see the comments on YouTube, people sharing things that they haven't shared with anybody, just, you know, sort of making peace with parts of themselves that previously they were maybe embarrassed about. It's incredible to see what's emerged into the Self-Care Sunday community.
Yeah, I know. I was on there, and it was a great experience. I really felt welcomed by your viewers. It was, I really enjoyed that. It was a great thing. So, you know, I hope you keep going with it because I think it's a valuable resource.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a privilege to have you on, and that was definitely one of the most beloved episodes, and we're pushing 40 episodes at this point, so it's still going strong.
That's awesome.
Well, I have to ask, how is Tiffy the cat?
Tiffy is adorable. She is rolled up right here. That's, I think, the audience favorite part of Self-Care Sunday is I have a camera. I think at this point I hate saying this because it feels so extra, but my brand is extra. and what that means in Self-Care Sunday is I have a whole camera dedicated to my cat sleeping on a chair next to my computer. Right now she's curled up in her other favorite place, which is my bed. And she's very cute. And she had some respiratory problems. She's an older cat who's bounced between homes her whole life. And so finally she's landed here, and we've been – ow. Okay, she doesn't want to be pet right now. Normally she loves it. But anyway, she's good. She's adorable. And finally not totally snotty and gross.
Yeah, I remember that one. When Beck did her Self-Care Sunday appearance with you, I remember her telling me about the cat cam, and you know, went and watched it. I got a big kick out of that, and that was very, very cute. So yeah, it's great when you have that unpredictableness of, you know, our four-legged friends kind of popping in and out of frame or on mic.
Uh-huh. Yeah, our cat was chiming in a little bit ago, but she went and passed back out again. So I don't think we have any fear of
chimage.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless the little one comes running in here.
Yeah, we've got three. So.
Yeah, and one of them is just a big nutball. So that's enough about the cats.
I love
yep.
that.
So tell us how you got started with public speaking. Was it just when you took your trip, your first trip that you took with the Project Uplift, or did that move you from,
yeah,
you
so,
know, starting?
So I'd always had a passion for public speaking. Well, that's not entirely true. I used to be super duper shy and allergic to attention.
Okay.
And my father led seminars for years, and I remember being like a four-year-old kid, and he brought me to one of his seminars, and I was like in the back of the room, and he invited me up, and I just like hid behind his legs the whole time while he was in the front of the room. but as I started to, you know, to make to come into myself in high school, I remember in senior year I pushed for an independent study in public speaking with two of my best friends and my favorite teacher. And, you know, our homework was to find some of the greatest speeches from all time and check them out. And then sort of, develop our own things and videotape them and watch them back and give ourselves feedback. And I never knew what that would be for, because it's not like I really felt like I had anything to say at that point in time. But it always felt like an important skill set for me to develop. And as I got into college and as I got more and more involved in the mental health sort of action community, I really found my own voice there. And what was fun was sort of, while I didn't really know what I wanted to say, you know, I think I definitely got the bug from both my father and my mother, who's a musculotherapist, and he's an executive coach. I got the bug of sort of like loving to care and sort of like I don't know, coach people, where I would meet these incredible leaders on campus and sort of be a resource for them in articulating their thoughts in new and interesting ways, whether it was on camera or off camera. I loved sort of being a public speaking and sort of like, you know, media consultant. And as it turns out, that's something that I'm pretty good at that people enjoy paying me for, which has been a blessing since graduating. But yeah, that's I feel like how I fell into that sort of world of public speaking. And as time's gone on, I've developed more and more talks around Project Uplift and around a couple other topics, sort of around how we look at ourselves and how we look at our minds and sort of the possibility of creativity and these sorts of things.
It's very cool.
Yeah. And you had mentioned a little bit about your TED Talk in Singapore. What was that experience like? That sounds really interesting.
Oh my God. It was awesome. It was such a roller coaster. it started, I had gotten Project Uplift is the project that could never die. As much as I put it on the shelf and always tried to sort of not pay attention to it, it's one of those things I put out there that just poked the universe in a way that has continued to get a response. And at a period around like 2014 when I, or 2013, when I hadn't been touching it really, I got a message from somebody who was really excited about it. He was a grad student in India, Kuldeep, and was sort of asking how we could be involved, and there wasn't really much to do because I was in New York. And and over the next year or so, he got one TED Talk and then another, and I was like, I messaged him, like, how are you getting all these TED Talks? Like, that's awesome. Like, and like, also, like, you're using this headset, like I'm using the headset that reads brainwaves, like we have a lot to talk about. And he's like, oh, like one, let's talk. Two, like, do you want a TED Talk? And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's like, yes, it's that easy. And he's like, yeah. And like, there was a couple like feelers that like didn't end up panning out, but then he ended up being the graduate advisor of the TEDxNUS, the TEDxNUS National University of Singapore group, where they were actively looking for speakers, and he was the person that they looked to find interesting folks, and he remembered me. And wow, it was a little bit slow going until we had the idea of, rather than fund me shipping this device across the ocean, which would have been a huge expense, rebuilding it from scratch with the local students was like, not only was it more cost effective, but it was way more interesting to the university, and honestly more interesting for me. The sad reality, once we got there, it was beautiful. I mean, it was gorgeous. They put me up in the sort of like teachers' quarters. A friend of mine that I had done some video work with was able to get a grant from their school to come and document the whole thing. So I have a bunch of footage that sort of part of a yet to be released Project Uplift video that sort of like been cooking for too long. The partners that I have in the U.S. that helped me build the tower originally shipped over a box that had some broken components in it. So I'm there with like a busted CPU, and like we're trying to figure out how to build the thing out of wood because wood made it cost effective. But in order to build a 15-foot wood structure, you kind of need like woodworking professionals that like can really do this thing. So we had to like find like worker, like woodworkers. And I just remember it was like Kuldeep, who had brought me out there, who's not a serious programmer, had enlisted his friend Baitung, this amazingly sweet and generous Chinese engineer. And Baitung, it was like by the third night of him being kept up until like 3 a.m. trying to get this thing working, I started to feel really guilty. and I had landed there on a Friday, and the talk was the following Saturday. So we had like a full week. And it wasn't until literally my talk was at like 10:30. It wasn't until 10 a.m. on Saturday morning that they had the thing working.
Oh my God. And
it's just like one of those, like, you know, it felt like an Aaron Sorkin movie of just like us constantly, like I was still like working on my talk and like editing my talk and memorizing my talk by by day, and then deep into the night, we'd be like trying to hack this thing together. Cooldeep even reached a point where, you know, everybody asks me when I go to an event, isn't there just like a button that you press that makes the world go up? I'm like, no, it's actually reading your brainwaves. And there was a point where Cooldeep was like, what if I built a button that you could press that just made it go up? I'm like, no, absolutely not. No way.
That's great.
And it was miraculous. It was just one of those things that in the 0 hour, it all came together and it couldn't have been better.
Oh man, I'm picturing 80s video montage.
It was pushing it to the limit.
Wow.
You know, we don't have too much time left.
But we do have a one more question for you.
Sure.
If I can keep my whole sinus spiel on tap. What can you tell us about your Patreon? I think I'm saying it right.
I think it's Patreon.
Patreon, whatever. Page.
Yeah.
And what is the address for our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to focus.af, there's a button that says support the show. You can also go to Patreon, that's patreon.com/ZachValenti, ZachValenti. And Patreon is a platform that helps creators like me get paid for creating. And basically, if anything that I've shared with you sounds like something that you would love to see more of and make possible, that is sort of where I am building a community of support to build a community around creativity and self-care. I'm actually going to be piloting in the next 30 days an online forum for the community that I have around Focused AF and Self-Care Sunday that's a distraction and ad-free place. Because I think I know social media has been a blessing in terms of enabling me to have a career that works with my, you know, my brain, but and also can be a curse, and you know, in terms of how it hijacks my attention and throws me off course. So I've been looking at, you know, how do we sort of take the energy that is present in the world of people who are already creating, or maybe even people who want to create. And sort of have teamwork make the dream work to sort of realize these things that maybe have been unrealized yet. And I know I've learned a ton in the process of creating things like Project Uplift and Wolf 359 that I'd love to share with people who maybe can't see themselves ever doing that. And I'm like, look, there's nothing special about me that allowed me to create these things. It is just a matter of action and sort of like, maybe a little bit of knowledge. So Patreon is the venue that I'm currently using to fund these developments. And again, that's patreon.com/ZachValenti. And I'm going to be revamping the levels. And so any level that you give that, you'll be getting anything that anybody else gets. Like, you can sort of ignore the tiers that are there for now. There will be some higher tiers for people who want to hire me around consulting, whether it's in public speaking or, you know, social media or like literally anything that you would want some advice on. Like, I'll have some tiers for that, but mostly it'll be behind the scenes live streams and early access to content and maybe some premium, you know, sort of like giveaway things from time to time. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Good job.
So for any of our listeners that want to get in touch with you or check out your projects, what's your social media information?
Absolutely. I'm mostly on Twitter these days, and that's just twitter.com/ZachValenti, ZachValenti. And ZachValenti.com has a number of the projects that I do. I think it's maybe a little bit out of date, but it has most of the projects that we talked about today. And Focus.af has more information on that show.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Well, it's been awesome talking with you today, Zach. Let's see. Bear with me a second here. I'm looking at something. Cool. So you said that you might have a question for us at the end.
Yeah. Did you come up with a question?
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, we got
time. So the question is, and this is part of the Focused AF show, so I'd love if I can hijack this audio at some point. What would you guys say is the most important thing to focus on?
I think probably you want to find the guest that, how do I say it, that are sort of the same mind, frame of mind that you are, in that they don't directly, God, I don't even know how to say it. It's a hard question. It's really hard.
How about aside from podcasting, just in general in life, what do you think is the most important thing to focus on?
The most important thing for me the most important thing to focus on, especially when you're battling a mental illness, is, you mentioned the focus of the show being self-care, and I couldn't agree more. And I stress this with Beck. She has a lot of days where, she's not feeling up to getting up. Those are self-care days. Those are days where she needs to take care of herself. And, I really stress that, and she feels guilty about that. She'll tell me all the time, I feel like a waste of space. I feel like I'm not doing anything. I feel like I'm always relying on you for stuff. My feeling on it is, if you're having a day where you can't get up, you can't do, you can't find the wherewithal to go take a shower or go do the dishes or vacuum or go to the store or anything like that, being able to say to yourself, it's okay that I feel this way.
Yeah.
This is a day that I need to just lay here and lick my wounds. And, if I feel good enough later to get up and do stuff, I will. And if not, it's okay. It's not the end of the world that I didn't vacuum our bedroom, whatever.
Sometimes the guilt is just absolutely overwhelming. It's really hard to get past the guilt. And, as much as I love my mother, and may she rest in peace, she was not one for laying around and doing nothing.
Yeah.
She would get aggravated with us. And I think because of that, the guilt is sort of inside of me that, and I can't really get rid of it because it's sort of how it was brought up.
Yeah, and for me, as her caregiver, I stress to her all the time, the only thing that I care about day in and day out is that she loves me. Everything else is details. And I reinforce that to Rebecca as often as needed, because she does. She gets the self-doubt and she gets the guilt. I say, babe, it doesn't matter to me that you didn't get up and do anything. What matters to me is that when I come home, you're there and you love me. We'll figure everything else out. And I know she appreciates that.
Yeah, I do.
That's the ultimate thing, is you put, especially for the caregivers out there, you put your pride aside. This is one thing I really quick want to say to those listening that wonder how we do it. You put your pride aside, you put you stifle down whatever personal feelings that you have.
Lower your expectations.
And lower your expectations, maybe, I don't know. But you realize that you're a team and you're in it together. And the person that you love has days or weeks or months or years where they can't function. And, you know, if you're truly committed to that person, you put in what you need to and you do what you need to and you ask them, what can I do to make this day better for you? Period. Without expectation, without condition, that's what you do. That's love. You know, and if somebody has a negative feeling about that, that's your hang up, not mine.
Right. That's beautiful. So, I was once told by one of my coaches, love is accepting someone as they are and as they are not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's exactly accurate.
Giving someone that space to be exactly the way they are and exactly the way they're not. And if that's true, then they're perfect for you in that moment, in every moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that is the most beautiful distinction of love that I've ever heard. And I hear that, like I said, the love is palpable over there.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, I had a little trouble with your other question. I'll be honest with you guys, I have had a rough couple of days.
My
brain is not functioning at the highest level today, so please pardon my stammering attempts at answering questions today.
It's all right, babe. It's okay. You're still cute.
Fine by me.
Oh, thanks. All right. Well, Zach, it's been great talking to you today. You've really brought a lot of really, really interesting stories and information to our show, and we're really grateful to you for taking the time out today.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me.
If you get any more, anything new comes up, anything going on, you know, a tour behind, you know, Project Uplift of some kind or whatever, by all means, we would love to have you back on.
Absolutely.
Great. I look forward to it.
Awesome.
Thanks again. So you have a good rest of your day. And this is Brandon and James, You Belong.
Back in fighting the law of attraction, never the one taking action. Years of denying this beauty inside, sleeping, scared of the fear they'd speak. And I never knew I was a beacon, waiting and waiting to light up the sky. When you're down and out, don't know what to do, what I found.
Hey guys, welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. We are in between shows, so keep listening. We're just waiting for our next guest to pop on the line. So in the meantime, here's another great tune for you. Start to Believe by Blake McIver. Oh no, I think it's what we're just that's what we're playing now. Start to Believe by Blake McIver.
Staring down that long and winding road, I felt like I could never start again. Flipping through the pages of my broken life, just remembering when. Before I was yours, I just stumbled through my feeble lies. But now you bring me all I could ask for. You give me all that I need. And baby, you've gathered the pieces. Maybe I'll start to believe. Looking up that mountain top, I said, how do we begin to climb? Wishing I could speed right through to all the joy, just manipulate time. But now I am yours, so I'll stop wandering through those feeble lies. Cause now you bring me all I could ask for. All that I need, and baby, you've gathered the pieces. Maybe I'll start to believe.
I guess I'll start to believe.
And though my doubts close in, I know that you there, I won't despair. My dream come true. Who knew? Baby, it's you. And though I falter, I lose control. Your soul pulls me through. Baby, it's you. You know just what to do. You bring me all I could ask for. You give me all that I need. And baby, you gather the pieces. I guess I'll start to believe.
Hey, welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. Thanks for hanging in there.
We have been waiting for our next guest to give us a call.
Yep. So we're gonna chill out here for a second while we are waiting for that to happen. And
hopefully it will be soon.
Yeah. And in the meantime, thank you so much to Zach Villani for talking with us today. It was great having him on. You know, I kind of wanted to see Project Uplift in action.
That would be really interesting.
Okay, that's interesting. Anyway.
I don't really know where to go
with it. Yeah. Go check out Zach's stuff.
He's a really, really great guy, really nice person, really genuine, and we're really fortunate to have him on with us today.
Yep,
and in the coming weeks,
we have next week, we're talking to Terry with Giving Voice to Depression on January 20th.
Terry and her sister. Forgive me, I have forgotten the sister's name, but
we'll have it next week.
Yep. I'll have more information later on with her. Yep. And after that, we've got Diane Harwood.
On the 27th.
Who is just a lovely, lovely woman. I absolutely adore her. She's got a really interesting book. I believe it's called Birth of a New Brain, and it's it details her struggles with finding out she was bipolar after giving birth.
Oh, that sounds like some heady stuff.
Yeah. And she's got some fabulous reviews on that book, and some very interesting people have chimed in, some really popular people in the industry, in the mental health industry, have chimed in and said that it's a fantastic book. So I'm really excited for her.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I'm happy about that we do with this show is, you know, the people in the mental health world have so many different unique perspectives that they bring to the table. You know, Diane with her book, with being diagnosed after giving birth, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, I can't even begin to describe all the different incredible guests that we've had over the course of the year. And by the way, happy 1 year anniversary to us and to our producer, Scott. We have been doing this show on Scott's network, Left of Straight, for a year now.
It's gone by fast.
It has, and it's amazing, you know. And you know, thinking back to when we were starting this back out, we were so nervous. And you know, Scott is family as far as we're concerned, and we
absolutely
love him very much. And you know, we take a lot of pride in being on his network. We're grateful to him for giving us a chance
in a platform.
And, you know, we hope that we do him proud every week. And, you know, again, we're grateful to you guys as well for tuning in and listening to us. You know, our show might not always be the smoothest thing, but it's honest.
We try.
Yeah. We try our little hearts out and, you know, having you guys be there week in and week out to listen to us. That means a lot to us.
Yeah, we're very grateful to everyone who listens, whether it's the live show or later on down the line, you listen to it off the website, and we're really grateful. So
yeah. So thank you, especially considering that we've been doing this a year now. It's a really good time to just say thank you. Thank you to Scott. Thank you to you guys. Thank you, babe, for having this idea to do a show in the first place. I gotta say, it's just awesome being able to have this be something that's a part of our lives that we get to share.
Absolutely.
So
we are going to leave you with on that note, and thank you once again for listening.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like the second half of the show will come to fruition today, but we're grateful for you for hanging in there, and we'll see you guys next week.
Yep, we'll see you next week.
This is Carly Robin Green with What Is Love, What Love Is All About.
Yep, thanks guys, have a great week. I was painting without color.
Don't miss the Mental Health Memoir of the Year, It's Not Your Journey. It's Not Your Journey is the true story of one woman's 20-year battle with mental illness and her recovery from a suicide attempt in 2013. Rebecca Lombardo candidly reveals her real and raw emotions in dealing with depression, bipolar disorder, the loss of her mother and brother, and more. Pick it up today on Amazon.com or visit www.RebeccaLombardo.com for more information.
Join us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.